Cloudcast Media.
Welcome to Your Next Mission Podcast with the 12th Sergeant Major of the Army and co-founder of the American Freedom Foundation, Jack L. Tilley. Proudly presented by Cavalry Agency, Navy Federal Credit Union, Purdue University Global, and Veterans United Home Loans.
Good day out there, veterans and families, and welcome to Season 2 of Your Next Mission Podcast, a program initiative of the American Freedom Foundation. I'm Jack L. Tilley, 12th Sergeant Major of the Army, and your host. I always love saying that because I love being in the Army. We have a great show for you today. I think we have a wonderful show for you today. Before we get started, though, if you're watching us on YouTube, please like us and hit that subscribe button below. For the next 20 subscribers, guess what? I'm going to give you something. I'm going to give you a Your Next Mission t-shirt. And you're going to love it. But you got to do one thing for me. There's a comment below. Leave a comment. Tell us how to get in contact with you. We're going to focus today on organization based in D.C. that provides resettlement assistance for recently arrived Afghani refugees. And the name of us, REACT D.C. But now, before we get started, I want to thank our presenting sponsors, Cavalry Agency, Navy Federal Credit Union, Purdue University Global, and Veterans United Home Loans for making Your Next Mission happen. They love our veterans and families, and like I say every week, we darn sure love them too. As I mentioned, today's theme, we're focusing on REACT DC and all the great work they are doing, and I'm excited. In fact, I'm overwhelmed here. I'm just pumped up to introduce founder and CEO of REACT DC, Ms. Amy Martin. Welcome, Amy. So good to have you on the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me here. I'm excited to be here.
Are you pumped up?
I'm pumped.
Hey, I know the audience is really eager to hear about REACT DC, but before you do that, could you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, I am from Wisconsin originally. I grew up there and I married.
Nobody's going to hold that against you. Go ahead.
There's this whole thing about happy cows coming from California, and that is just a straight up lie. Happy cows come from Wisconsin, always have, always will. They like the cold. They like the winter. But I went to college there, went to law school and married a naval officer. And then we started our military journey.
All right.
12 years and going, still going.
Is he going to stay? Are you going to stay 20 or 25 or 30? You have any idea?
Yeah, he's gonna do his 20 for sure, and then we'll see what the promotion gods say about the rest.
Yeah, you know, I tell anybody that just stays 20, they're quitters. I stayed 36. So.
Well, unless he promotes, they'll kick him out at 20. So he's got to pick up one more rank or he's done at 20 for sure.
There you know. Well, first of all, again, thank you for what you're doing. You're a wonderful person. You're doing a lot for the Afghanis, and I'm just really excited. And I know the audience that's listening today is excited to hear with all the stuff you had to say. You know, I've been doing a little bit of reading about REACT DC. I should say a little. I haven't been doing a lot, but I have been reading a little bit about REACT DC, and you're doing some amazing work. Can you tell us about REACT DC and all you're getting involved in? And really, you know, it's growing quite a bit, I guess, too.
Yeah, we are growing at an incredible rate. We just formed last September. We started as a community group of military spouses and veterans here in Northern Virginia. We were watching the evacuations on TV, like I'm sure all of us were, you know, just kind of heartbroken to see what was happening in Afghanistan.
Absolutely.
And here in the DC area, they were coming pouring into Dulles Airport, just locally here. So I called up some military spouse friends, some veteran friends, and said, hey, let's do some home setups because the local agencies needed help getting people into homes and getting stuff for them, furniture, you know, things they needed. But once we started doing that, we found out really quickly that the need was a lot greater than that. I mean, you're talking people who have to navigate completely new systems, new driving system, new medical system, new, you know, school system, everything. And they just needed some help. They needed some help getting going. So we've got a lot of volunteers. We're working hard to help people. We're expanding every day. And we're now really proud to be a Sponsor Circle umbrella organization, which is this new program that's parallel to the State Department program for resettlement. And what that is communities getting together and sponsoring Afghan families right off of the camps, right into your community anywhere in the U.S. We're helping them too. So we're happy to be expanding, happy to be helping, but the need is really still great. I think a lot of people, I have friends calling me saying, hey, is that still happening? Yeah, still, it's still happening. In some ways, people are just getting started with their resettlement journey.
I've moved around in the military for a long time. I could not imagine moving from one, because I've been to a lot of different countries in my life. I couldn't imagine sort of picking up and going into another country where you don't speak the language and all this stuff. Amy, can you tell us how our country is handling the influx of refugees and the situation that currently exists with them and the needs that they need? I mean, the kind of things that they need to really get started.
Yeah, it's really, we are handling it, but it is, let's not kid ourselves. This is unprecedented to have this many people coming in such a short time. We had over 70,000 people come into the country, Afghan refugees come into the country between August and December of last year.
Oh,
and that's crazy. Northern Virginia alone got over 10,000 is the estimate. There isn't even really a good, statistical estimate right now. So they are coming to communities all over the U.S. and the U.S. is welcoming them. In fact, there's welcome.us is a website set up that has the sponsorship of former first ladies, all of them pretty much back a couple decades. And, they're really trying to get all of the nonprofits and all the government agencies and everybody who wants to help together to coordinate, because coordination is a big part of it. But the need is still there. They need clothing, they need furniture, and then they need help from Americans getting on their feet. They need jobs. They need jobs in the community, people who can offer entry-level jobs just so they can get a U.S. resume going. And they need help with their resumes, getting U.S. resumes. Yeah. It's really, if you imagine, you moved around in the military, when you move in the military, you get to a new place and you have a really short amount of time to set yourself up. And imagine having to do that, except without any of the knowledge that we have as Americans moving to another American location or even overseas where you've got a robust support system with you. There's no support system here. So that's what we're trying to be. That's what American communities across the U.S. are trying to be, our support systems for all of these people coming in.
A lot of the people that are helping out, are they military people, or are they just civilians, no military background at all? Just everybody in general wants to help, I guess.
We've got people from all walks of life, but I have to say, as time ticks on, there's this sort of volunteer fatigue that sets in. It's normal. It's part of life. Or people move on to new stories. Frankly, the ones who are sticking in there are the veterans and the spouses and the military families, because, we've been in a 20-year relationship with Afghanistan.
Yeah.
And everybody knows somebody who deployed or did deploy or, fought alongside somebody there. Many of these people were translators for, special forces or U.S. forces. They worked for USAID and other NGOs. So worked for the U.S. military. So it's not just any refugee crisis, obviously, is heartbreaking and terrible. But for the military community, I think this one hit a little bit harder. It's kind of close to home.
Yeah. I told you, I've been over to Afghanistan about 16 different times. I think, sitting it out, doing stuff and coming back. One of the things, I don't know if it's on the list of questions I was going to ask you, but one of the things just popped in my brain, what about the kids? It seems to me a lot of times kids are they adapt a lot faster than adults, I think. Are you working with kids too?
Oh, yeah. We're families, right? So families with new babies all the way up to young adults to young adults over 18, also that other.
I'm a young adult. Wait a minute. I'm a young adult.
I just turned 18. Okay. I get younger every year.
Yeah.
And it's true. Kids are really resilient and they learn English quickly. They, integrate really quickly when you get them in school, but it's not to say all of these families have experienced trauma of one sort. On the one sense, these kids get here, they seem like they're happy, doing well, they make friends, learning English, but unless you address that underlying trauma that they've been through, they're going to stall at some point. So again, the having a support system and a network, and access to healthcare and other things, all these things are important for their success, and especially for the teens. Those years are really important years where you make important decisions about who you're going to be, where you're going to go in life. They need mentorship. from U.S. citizens.
Yeah, you know, the other thing, this is a great discussion because I love talking to people and the things you're doing are just unbelievable. The other thing I think is really important, the fact is here's some kids that's coming from a war-torn country and they've seen a lot of things that most of our young adults in life never will see, I hope anyway. And you would think that for them, it really is a struggle to fit in because of just the way of life and the culture and their beliefs and everything else and the religion. It's really got to be tough for them. I certainly feel sorry for them, that's for sure. But I think the majority of them make it. And besides that, there's a lot of jobs in our country right now. So hopefully placement is good for them.
Yeah. And I mean, that's what we're focusing on this year, really, is getting people jobs. You can't be self-reliant and be standing on your own unless you have employment and employment that will sustain you and sustain your family. So, and I mean, with the kids, yeah, it's hard, but they're doing well. They're doing really well. And I mean, there are issues that crop up, but smiles are smiles. And I'm so happy to see kids smiling. When the first couple months they were here, I wasn't seeing a whole lot of smiles. I'm seeing more smiles these days, and it makes my heart happy.
I guess the other side of that, you probably see a lot of tears too.
We do. Yeah. We're kind of there through all of it. Yeah.
That makes it tough. We're talking with Amy Martin of Washington React with React DC. I don't make sure I get the time. Lives in Washington, DC. And you're listening to Your Next Mission podcast with me, your host, Jack L. Tilley, 12th Sergeant Major. I mean, and don't forget, if you're enjoying this discussion, and I know that you are because I certainly am, please like us and click on the subscribe button below and join this discussion with us. Amy, to continue on this discussion, there are so many issues when it comes to resettlement. First and foremost important is really the language barrier. Can you talk some about the issues about addressing those kind of things?
Yeah. The first people who entered were these special immigrant visa holders, this other class. And I will not get into the technicalities of it because it's a lot. But a lot of them, the head of family did speak English. There were a lot of translators for, military units. And then as we came on, there were more and more people who didn't speak English. Luckily though, we have a wonderful supportive community of Afghans who want to help each other. So we're finding people who came in August or September, who now we're hiring on to translate for people who came in November and December. And, it's pretty amazing. And I will say Google Translate, it's not perfect, but it does work in a pinch. If you use simple sentences, you can get through. I do a lot of gesturing. I think as long as you approach it, in sort of a humble manner and you don't mind making a little bit of a fool of yourself while you're doing it.
I do it all the time.
Yeah. I mean, that's my day every day. Yeah. But we find ways to communicate and we find people who can help us communicate. And we also have wonderful coalition of Afghan Americans around the country, who obviously, are very invested in this as well. And they're providing translation services and mental health services and cultural information for those who aren't familiar with Afghan culture.
Yeah. Did any of them ever ask to go back?
Yes.
Yeah.
We do. And at first blush, your initial reaction is, oh my goodness, how could you want to go back? But then you think about it for a few seconds and yeah, of course. Right. Of course, you left your country. You left everything you've ever known. You left your wealth in a lot of cases. And spouses in particular, female spouses who are here without a network, without a community. They are missing home. And I get that. And I think that's why it's important for us to provide, again, a support system, a holistic approach to resettlement that's not just about getting their benefits, like ticking the boxes. It's about more than that. It's about seeing them through a longer journey of reintegration into a completely different culture, and finding them communities that they can connect and plug into so that they can feel at home here in their new home.
Yeah. Give me an idea about the average age. I mean, of the families that come in here, is it, 50s and 60s or 40s or whatever? What's the average age?
It's a little bit younger. Yeah. We're seeing lots of, I guess, like 40s. So families that there are, we have some new families too, but mostly families with several children, parents are in their 40s, you know, they've been working in the new government in Afghanistan for, you know, 15, 20 years, basically since it formed. So people who have started with the new government and have been working in it, you know, this whole time, and now are transitioning to the U.S. and finding. Yeah.
One last thing, we'll take a quick break here. What about clearances? Do you go through the clearance process with them too?
They go through all of that before they come to us. There's a whole USCIS vetting process that they have to go through in order to get there before they even left the country, to get paperwork that way. And then when they enter the country, there's biometrics, there's background checks. You know, by the time they come to us, we know that they have been cleared through State Department, through Homeland Security, before they ever reach us. And that's an intense process, months long.
I don't know. I'm sure everybody listening right now, I just say, you know, before we get too much farther, God bless you for what you're doing. This is a big deal. And it's good that there's people like you that are out there helping people. You're doing God's work. There's no question about that. Let's take a quick break. We'll be right back. You're listening to Your Next Mission Podcast.
You're watching Your Next Mission, proudly presented by The Cavalry Agency. They help brands dominate no matter their size. Ideas, strategy, action. This is Cavalry. Learn more at cavalry.com. Navy Federal Credit Union, the most trusted credit union owned by members of the military community, serving all branches of the armed forces and their families. Their members are the mission. Learn more at navyfederal.org. Purdue Global, providing affordable online education for hardworking adults. Learn more about a personalized, innovative, and world-class education at purdueglobal.edu. Veterans United Home Loans, the number one VA lender for 5 straight years. If you're buying, they're funding your dreams. Learn more at veteransunited.com. Now back to your host, the 12th Sergeant Major of the Army, Jack L. Tilley.
Welcome back. I'm Jack L. Tilley, 12th Sergeant Major of the Army. We're blessed to be here today with Amy Martin, founder and CEO of React DC. And I want all our listeners to reach out to me directly. Tell us about your transition. Tell us about the things that you did during your transition. I'm certainly interested. I can tell you about my transition. Tell us what topics you'd like us to cover on the show. And I tell people every week, this is not our show. It's not my show. It's your show. And we want to do all we can to help you. And we're going to laugh and have fun, but I'm serious about doing all I can to help our veteran community do everything they can to make their life better. You can call or reach out to me or text me at 844-424-1134. And believe it or not, I'll reach back out to you and I'll talk to you. Or you can send me an email at smatilly@yournextmission.org. Okay, well, let's pick it up a little bit where we left off here. We're heading into our final segment with you today, and I hope you've enjoyed it as much as I have. And I just have a couple of more questions. Amy, I'm sure you have stories about these journeys you're on and the families you've encountered. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, I mean, first I have to say the hospitality, the tea, the food. Our team often jokes that we have a lot to do. We're trying to help a lot of people, but you really have to, you're not going to walk out of a house without a cup of tea. It's just not going to happen. You might as well just settle in and have a nice conversation. And I mean, this is important to Afghan culture. They have, I mean, world-class, top-notch hospitality, and they can put together a snack tray unlike anything. I feel it puts me to shame. People come to my house and I say, you have tap water and maybe an open bag of chips. That's what you get. I mean, it's just the experience there has been amazing. But yeah, stories, gosh, there's so many stories, and there are heartbreaking ones. And then there are the fun ones. And I like the fun ones. And I think one of my favorite fun ones was right around Halloween. We had a family coming in and we went to visit them. I don't even know what we were dropping off, something. And the kids were in costumes. And we said, oh, that's wonderful. You're getting ready for Halloween. And they said, what's Halloween? And they had never heard of it. The kids had gone to, you know, a CVS drugstore or something, saw the costumes, thought they were cool, and thought, well, in America, I guess kids just wear costumes whenever they want. And the parents got them for them, and they were just wearing around their, like, Hulk, you know, Avenger costumes out and about. And we explained them, of course, when you explain that Halloween is about candy.
Yeah, they like that.
It made it even better. So, but yeah, I mean, stuff like that, that's just, we kind of take for granted our, you know, US holidays, and to be able to watch people experience that kind of stuff for the first time, it's really fun. And they have a lot of fun with it.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, that's God bless. You know, I'm laughing when you're talking about the Halloween costume. That's probably it's probably just a culture shock for those guys. I mean, I just can't. Hey, Amy, if somebody's interested in helping you donate to React DC or getting involved, how do they reach out to you?
Yeah, we've got a website. It's reactdc.org. We are on Facebook at React DC and Twitter at reactdc.org. You can find us. You can Google us. We'll pop up somewhere in those top results.
Yeah,
and really. You know, we would obviously appreciate your donation. Your money goes right back to helping people here in Virginia and across the country. And other than that, get involved in your community. You know, reach out to your local resettlement agency, your local vets organization, and see what you can do, because there are people far and wide. I know we have a sponsor circle up in Juneau, Alaska. So there are Afghans resettling in all 50 states, and they need help and support, and really just smiles and notes of welcome to say that, you know, we're glad you're here. And, you know, you mentioned transition, and I just have to say there is this weird connection between Afghans transitioning here and veterans having to transition out of active duty service into civilian life. And we're finding veterans really being able to use that experience that they went through of how do I transport my job skills that I have, you know, in the military to civilian life, or how do I move from one community to another and put down roots? Mm-hmm. They're using those experiences and helping these newcomers. And it's really it's a beautiful connection to see. Mm-hmm. So I just have to thank our veteran community too, for being there for this population.
Yeah. You know, we're a giving nation. I think most people in America want to do all they can to give and help and do the kind of things that certainly are right. What about church services and stuff like that? I'm not sure what religion most of them are. Probably most of them are Muslim, I'd imagine. What about church services, though?
Yeah, most are Muslim, but we have lots of church organizations. In fact, nationwide, it's mostly church organizations who are doing the home setups or doing some of the outreach, you know, community work. Church is where communities come together. In the U.S. and that's showing here. So yeah, while most of them are Muslim, most follow, you know, halal diet, and reaching out to mosques, obviously important to connect them to those communities as well. There is space for everybody in every community to step in and help out, in a culturally appropriate way. It's really, I think a lot of people are very worried about offending people or doing the wrong thing. You don't have to worry about it. Just come and smile and say hello and be friendly. And that's felt, even if you're not speaking the same language, that feeling of welcome, they feel that. And the rest doesn't even matter.
Yeah. I guess probably a lot of them just read body language. You know what I'm talking about? Your body language is really important. Again, this is such an interesting conversation. What about depression? Have you had any that sort of got real depressed and, you know, and it's probably a little tough to find the right kind of doctor or counselor to help them out.
Yeah. I mean, with the trauma and the upset and new everything, I mean, as you can imagine, depression is a huge problem. And I think what usually happens is they people carry through really well until they are stable in that permanent housing and starting to get set. And then there's kind of a secondary letdown that happens where it kind of sinks in the permanence of it all. And that's where we start to see some of the mental health issues come. And it's a struggle. Most of them are on Medicaid. So finding mental health care when you're on Medicaid, it's tough. We have a lot of good connections, again, through Afghan providers who are trying to help. But there is a need for mental health care providers to reach out. Even if they don't speak the language, translation is something that can happen, you know, and if you want to help, if you're a medical provider and you want to help, reach out to us. We'll figure it out. We'll find a way
sure you will.
On staff to figure it out. But yeah, it is an issue. It is an issue. They're going to need mental health care. And that's just something that the communities are going to have to figure out how to provide.
So I'm assuming now that the U.S. government gives them so much money to get started. Is that true or not true?
Do they? Yeah, when they go through this resettlement process, when they're assured to a resettlement agency, those are government contractors, and they families receive, like, it's a per capita, per person, one-time amount. And they get 90 days of assistance getting on their feet, getting their social security cards, you know, schools enrolled, all sorts of things like that. And then they have some longer term reach back support through the Office of Refugee Resettlement, which is also a government agency. But with so many people coming at one time so quickly, a lot of these agencies, they had funding cuts, they were understaffed from, you know, previous to this. And this happened so quickly that there was not time for them to quick plus up and staff up. So a lot of what we're seeing are just delays from agencies that were working around the clock, but just not able to meet this incredible, you know, overwhelming need. And that's where we came in. That's where we were helping. But they do receive some one-time sort of short-term support, and then they're eligible for federal aid through Medicaid and SNAP and, you know, TANF, those supports that are available to low-income Americans, which are all time limited.
Yeah. I hate to say this, but I worked with the government a long time. The government moves pretty slowly. but it is sort of scary. I mean, I'm sitting there thinking, I said, geez, you give enough for, I think you said 90 days, you know, you sort of got money for 9 days. After that, you're almost on your own
to
make it. And if you don't have a job or don't have an employment, do you follow back up with them once you place them somewhere or get them a home or whatever? Is there a way that you go back and check on them, you know, like 60 days later or every couple of weeks or something?
Yeah, absolutely. We're still in contact with the very first people that we met on the very first day. My text messages are a mess. It just scrolls and scrolls. We know the names of the people, we know their kids, we know their ages, we know what they're doing and where they're going and what they need. And that's important because that's the kind of support system that they need. It's not 90 days. It's going to be, you know, I don't know, a couple of years even maybe. Some of these people I'll probably be talking to the rest of my life because I've made friends this way too. And that's why it's really important for communities to be engaged, because it's not 90 days. 90 days is just, that's to get them started.
Yeah, I was you just said something, and I was going to ask you that question. I guess probably a lot of them, because of your relationship, really keep coming back to you and keep talking to you quite a bit. You must spend a lot of extra time just sort of sitting down, having a conversation, or trying to help people, or maybe just giving them a little bit of advice, I think.
I mean, I do, and other people in our organization do. We all do. The volunteers all have a separate set of contacts that we're helping them with services, but we're also helping them with mentorship. And I think that's really important, and friendship. And that's another part of it, is just forming longer term relationships with people. And I don't mind doing it. It's nice at the end of the day to be able to give somebody a tangible piece of advice, you know, that they can go act on and make their lives better, give them better opportunity. So it doesn't bother me, but I do wish there were more hours in the day. Not going to lie.
I tell you what, I can't say it enough. And the people that are listening today, God bless people like Amy, because she cares about people. She cares about changing lives. She cares about making a difference in some people's life. And I can't, in my mind, I'm sitting there trying to think of where could I go and within 90 days and just sort of get my life back in order. And I couldn't imagine how tough it is and how challenging it is. And so what you're doing and what you and your staff and the people that work with you and the volunteers that you keep talking about are doing are just unbelievable. And I can't, not just for me, really from our country. Thank you for what you're doing and what you continue to do. Any final thoughts, anything that we maybe I missed? hopefully I asked you the right question, but is there anything I missed that you really want to bring up? Because I think this is important. It's important for people to hear and understand exactly what you're doing.
It's really important. I cannot stress how much I think in a positive way, if people are cared for, if we welcome them properly into our communities, this will change the fabric of our country in a positive way. If we don't welcome them properly, if we leave them behind, it's not going to change the fabric of our country in a positive way. So I think we're at a really critical juncture where, again, this spirit of openness and welcoming and help and community is very important. And, you know, our organization, other organizations, it's going to take all of us together, you know, private citizens, government, military, businesses, everybody together, welcoming people, bringing them in, into our culture, into our society, to have this be a positive experience going forward and have it be a positive impact on our country.
Yeah, it's always about the team. It's, you know, exactly. A team. You can get anything done with a team. If you try it individually, you'll do the best you can, but it's pulling together and helping each other out. Nobody is successful by themselves. It's always a team of people. And again, it's about giving back. It's about believing in life and doing the best you can each and every day for the people that you live with and you want to help. There's no question about that. Amy, I can't thank you enough, Amy Martin, for all that you do and all you continue to do. And just to let you know now, we're always here to help you in any way we can. I'm Jack L. Tilley, 12th Sergeant Major. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Amy.
No, I just want, you know what? Since I've got the opportunity, I just want to give one shout out to my team and my family and everything that they've done. And I so appreciate everybody that we're working with in our community and all the hours that they've put in. I would be remiss if I didn't say, you know, speaking of team, it's a team effort from my family to my community to the people at React DC. I'm thankful to have them with me.
Well, I'm glad you said that because you're exactly right. It's all about pulling together. Let me give a shout out to them too. Thanks, staff. Thanks, all you guys, what you're doing. Keep doing the good work. All right. Well, let me start this phase again. I'm Jack L. Tilley, 12th Sergeant Major of the Army. You've been listening to Your Next Mission podcast, and thank you for listening today. Unless something's wrong with you, this was a great discussion about something we all need to know about, we all need to understand. And please visit our website at yournextmission.org and leave me a review. I always tell everybody, I hope it's a good review. But if it's not, that's okay too, because you grow from both sides there, I guess. You can also visit our partners there who can provide you with so many services that will assist you in your transition from the military to civilian life there. And also, please visit our corporate partners and see all the jobs that are available for you. We want to do all we can to help you each and every day. Please know we want to assist you in any way we can. I want to say that again. Please know we want to assist you in any way we can. Please follow me on all my personal social media channels. I never in my lifetime would have thought I'd ever say this. Please visit me on all my social media channels, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, and LinkedIn. I love LinkedIn. I love all of them. And if you enjoyed this discussion with Amy, please like us and click on that subscribe button below. And as I said earlier, we'd like to give you something. We'd like to give you 20 Your Next Mission t-shirts, but you got to do something. You got to leave a comment below so we know how to get a hold of you. Or not, we can't send you a t-shirt. So don't forget that we want to hear from you. Please leave me a message or send me a text at 844-424-1134 or send me an email at smatilly@yournextmission.org. And I guarantee you I'll get back a hold of you and I'll talk to you. You know, just like me and Amy was talking a minute ago, it's about the team. We're all part of a team, a military family team that work together, stay together, and help each other each and every day. And thanks again to Amy Martin for really being with us today and really the kind of things that she does and continues to do. It was just great having her on the podcast. And I want to leave you with three things, and hopefully I don't cry because these are things that are important to me and all veterans. We're dedicating season two of Your Next Mission to all those veterans members and family members who struggle with mental illness, which so often lead to someone taking their own life. Please reach out to someone you haven't spoken to in a long time. I did that the other day. I reached out to someone I haven't talked to in 20 years, and it was like I talked to him yesterday. You know, you got to check on your friends. You got to check on the families and make sure they're okay. Sometimes you think everything's okay until it's not okay. So dedicate your life about helping people. That's what we're going to do. That's what all of us want to do. Second, I'd like every veteran. Now, you see I got my Army hat on. Hooah! You know, but I want you to do the same thing. I want you to celebrate your service each Friday. I want you to wear your military, whether or not you're in the Navy, the Air Force, Marine Corps, Space Force, whatever. Send me that picture. I'll put it on my social media channels. Because be proud of what you've done for this country and what you continue to do for this country. A lot of you wore that uniform for a lot of years, whether or not it was a short time or a long time. Again, we're all part of a family. And then lastly, I want to encourage everyone listening to reach out to your neighbor. You know, all the things that you learned in the military, you could share with the people around you. You know, offer them a smile or a helping hand. Together, let's try to bridge that divide that's affected so many of us today. Again, thanks for listening today, and thank the Cloudcast Media, and of course, our four presenting sponsors, Calvary Agency, Navy Federal Credit Union, Purdue University Global, and Veterans United Home Loans. We appreciate all you do for our military. See you on the high ground. Hoo-ah!
You've been listening to Your Next Mission, brought to you by the American Freedom Foundation. Learn more by visiting yournextmission.org.
Cloudcast Media.